Oak session number 14281, Reel 1.
Mr. McAllister, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Sandgate in Kent.
Which year was that?
1911.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was in the army.
So he was a professional soldier?
Yes, he was actually the pioneer sergeant of the 52nd Ox and Bucks Light Infantry.
Did you have your education at Sandgate?
No. Pardon me. Mostly in Tidworth.
How old were you when you finished your schooling?
In the village school in Tidworth.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
So that was 1925?
Yes, 1925.
Did you get a job?
Yes, in the post office.
So how did you come to be in the army?
I joined the Territorial Army when I was 18 years of age. While I was still working in the post office.
In 1929. Which units did you go into in the TA?
Oh, the 1st 4th Battalion, the Royal Hampshire Regiment.
What did you think of the kind of training that you got in the Territorial Army pre-war?
Oh, not so hot, really. But I was moving with soldiers in Tidworth. I was living in Tidworth, and I was able to note the drills and things that soldiers did in those days. They were not very professional, but they were very keen.
When did you realise a war was coming?
Well, the end of September. I was in Kingston, in the post office. And also, I was attached to the 6th Battalion East Surrey Regiment as a signal corporal and instructor. So I left Kingston and the East Surreys to join my unit in Andover, the 1st 4th Battalion.
This was in 39?
In 39.
What was your reaction to the news that we were at war with Germany? How did you react to it?
Well, I just did as I was expected to do in the Territorials and just joined in Andover, joined my unit.
Did it?
I wasn't very keen in a way until I got to Andover, and then having been embodied in the unit, I was quite happy to do my bit.
Were you surprised at the war declaration?
No.
Did you feel dismayed about it?
Did I feel?
Dismayed about
it? No, in no way.
Were you in any of the early bombing by the German Air Force of Britain?
No.
Where were you when the Blitz was taking place in 40-41?
In Hitchin or Luton. We were stationed at Luton, stationed at Hitchin. We were doing guard duties at the Luton airport. I, at that time, was a signal sergeant responsible for the communication between Hitchin and Luton.
Did you ever go on coastal defence?
Yes. I had a spell at Ramsgate.
Was that with your battalion?
With the battalion, yes. I was then a CQNS.
What were the defences like at Ramsgate?
Oh, pretty rough. There were very few of them.
What did they consist of?
Mostly obstacles in the water.
Did you lay any mines?
No. No, I was on signalling all the time. I had a squad of about 30 men. I had to train them each day.
Did you think the Germans would invade?
Not really, no. I felt we were capable of dealing with them. We didn't pay a lot of attention to the thought of any raids.
Were most of the men in your battalion recruited from Hampshire?
At that time, yes.
What were the main recruiting areas where you got the most recruits?
Well, I would say Basingstoke, Andover, Portsmouth. And later on we got quite a lot from Kent. But in the early days, they were mostly recruited from around the drill hall area. And as I just say, Kent was a good supplier.
Whilst you were at Ramsgate, did you have any attacks by the German Air Force?
Ramsgate, yes.
Was that bombing or strafing?
Strafing, really. On that we were in, billeted in a college, St. Lawrence's College, and the planes came in and bombed the college, only on one occasion. But it was very visible. It came right in. One could see the black crosses. It was quite a surprise for us. Only just at one occasion.
Did you have any casualties then?
No.
Was the college much damaged?
No damage at all.
Had there been any evacuation from Ramsgate of the civilians?
Oh, yes. Yes, you were not allowed to have visitors in Ramsgate. Couldn't have relatives or friends then, while you were stationed there. But I know of no casualties. No doubt there were, but we didn't know of them.
But had any of the civilians from Ramsgate moved out to a safer area?
Oh, I think so. Very few. But it seemed a very neglected spot at that time.
Neglected from what point of view?
Well, traffic and pedestrians. It seemed a pretty dead spot.
Were people allowed to use the beach for recreational purposes?
I think it was restricted. I think we had troops along the coast, along the beach, and in the amusement centres, troops were stationed.
Can you tell me how you came to go abroad?
I think in the normal way, you know, we stayed in England for a long time. Till 42. And then we went across, I suppose, as a division. I went across with Headquarter Company, Royal Hampshire Regiment, as a member of my signal platoon. We moved across as a brigade to North Africa.
What was the journey like to North Africa?
Oh, pretty awful.
Do you remember the route you took?
Yes. We went on a Belgian ship, which wasn't a very good one. The sea was terribly rough, and everyone was terribly seasick. I, at that time, was a company quartermaster sergeant, responsible for dishing up the food. It wasn't a very pleasant task, really.
Did you sail from the Clyde, or from Liverpool, or...?
From Greenock.
Do you remember the name of the ship?
I should do.
But it was Belgium, was it?
A Belgium ship.
What were conditions like aboard?
Well, from the point of view of a CQMS, it was pretty good. You had cabin accommodation, but the troops had pretty awful accommodation. Most of them were not used to the sea. So there was a lot of seasickness.
Did you run into the enemy on the way? Did you run into the Germans on the way?
No. Well, not to my knowledge, we didn't see any. Not on our part of the convoy.
Did you see anything of the escorts?
Yes. Yes, you could see them all the time in the distance. And as you came to a port, they came in and had a closer view of them.
Did you have any big ships escorting you?
I think destroyers.
Where did you land in North Africa?
Algiers.
What were your initial impressions of Algiers?
Well, it was a surprise to us, really. We'd heard so much about these places that, having been delivered to them, it seemed a big surprise to us. The different type of people, the different dress.
When you arrived in Algiers, had it already been captured, or did you take part, was it part of the North Africa landings?
It had already been captured. Yes, the fighting proceeded from that point onwards. But at that particular time, it was pretty safe in our hands.
Was it before or after Christmas 1942 that you arrived?
After.
What was morale like in the battalion when you arrived in North Africa?
Oh, very high indeed.
Why was that?
Well, they'd been cooped up on a ship, they'd been seasick. They were very glad to get off, and the thought of having a little fight, health matters.
You mean they wanted to be in action?
Oh, yes.
What happened to you on landing? What happened after you landed?
We did quite a bit of training, marching, and small exercises, till we got used to the climate. And then we took another Royal Naval ship from Algiers down to Beaune. And our operational role started really from Bonn, but from Beaune, from that point on. We didn't seem to rush into it. They were really few and far between, I suppose.
Which division were you part of? Hmm. Which division were you part of?
46. 46 Oak Tree.
How did the men take to the climate?
Oh, very well.
Did you have any health problems? Any sickness or disease?
None at all.
What was the reaction of the inhabitants to you? Were they hostile or friendly?
Oh, friendly. Just keen to get rid of the oranges, you know, they were always trying to sell something. There was no hostility at all.
How soon did... when did you move into the front line?
Well, it's difficult to define the front line, really. Our first battle was Pichon. P-I-C-H-O-N. They were not frequent battles.
What do you remember about Pichon?
Very little, really. Because I, at that time, was a CQMS. Mostly concerned with keeping the food supply going up. The only indication that I had of the battle was in Boerade, where we were waiting with four food lorries for an opportunity to feed the troops. And the Donar came back to say that we would require only two food vehicles because of the casualties. And that was one of our heaviest battles. We lost quite a lot of men there, quite a lot of officers.
What were the problems that you had in keeping the food supplies going?
Well, we had five containers for the food. We had to use petrol for lighting the ignition. And you pump the air into the thing. It was like an acetylene welder, really. They cooked all right, but keeping them warm was a bit of a difficulty having cooked it. It was never very easy.
Did you supply the troops with local food?
No, Maine, the RASC.
What do you remember after Pichon?
Pichon, oh, it's pretty hazy there. I couldn't really say what the next move was from Pichon. Oh, Pichon, the next move was Buerada, where we lost most of our casualties. That came after Pichon. Pichon wasn't such a heavy battle for casualties, really. So I suppose one would say the next move from Pichon was Buerada.
Were you doing a similar job at Buerada? Your own personal job?
Buerada is out of CQMS on rations.
Did you have anything to do with the American troops in Tunisia?
No. Never bumped them at all.
Had morale suffered in the battalion because of the casualties?
No. It didn't have any effect on the morale of the troops.
What was the opinion of the German enemy in Tunisia?
Well, they're pretty cock-a-hoop.
The Germans?
Yes. They still thought they were on the winning side, although they were being cleared out gradually from Tunisia. I think they felt sure that they would come back without much difficulty when the time came, when they wanted to.
Did you see any German POWs?
Yes.
How were they being treated?
Well, pretty good, really. We did a spell in North Africa in charge of prisoners of war. I think we had about 5 weeks guarding prisoners in the cage. The difficulty was trying to keep our troops from fratting with the Germans. In one instance, we were leaving the prisoner of war camp by train to go elsewhere. Into the same station came a train containing prisoners from the same camp. And there was immediately a mix-up between the troops and the prisoners getting onto each other's rail truck. There's a lot of shouting from NCOs and officers, "Stop that bloody fratting." And they went back to their own compartments or their own trucks. So they were best of pals. And it was known at night time that the guard used to go into the prisoner of war camps and frat with the German prisoners. And on one occasion, about 20 German prisoners gathered at my camp, my cookhouse, which was just a hole dug in the side of the hill. and they started to sing German war songs. The sort of thing you had to stamp your foot on.
What kind of songs?
A German song. They love their singing, as they still do, of course.
Do you remember any of the titles?
Well, the famous one was Lily Marleen, known to one and all now. But you had to watch them pretty closely. Try and move them on, you know.
Why did you want to stop them singing?
Well, it just wasn't done.
Why did the British soldiers like the Germans so much?
German soldiers?
Why did the British soldiers like the Germans so much?
I really don't know. They seemed to like the fighting German that they saw in front of them, you know. One heard about SS troops. The troops in action seemed only to see the fighting German, which they seemed to accept as another fighter.
Were there any Italian POWs as well?
No, we didn't have any Italian. The Italians weren't very popular at all.
Why not?
They just didn't like Italians. If you had a Luger German revolver, that was something to grab. A good German gun, but give him an Italian, he wouldn't take it. Our troops wouldn't take any Italian arms or watches. To get a German, particularly a German watch. Which was all wrong, of course, because they weren't really allowed to take items like that.
Did the German prisoners ever cause any trouble?
Not to my knowledge.
What was your own personal opinion of the Germans?
Well, as soldiers, I rather like them. Not quite so much later on in action in Italy. But during the African campaign, we seemed so far away from them that we accepted them as soldiers and as fighters.
Did you link up with the 8th Army in Tunisia? Did you see them? The 8th Army?
Yes.
What impression?